This recording is going to be part one of Franziska Kluggen, an entrepreneur woman. Take a listen.
College, I decided I was going to become an attorney. And I clerked for one of my professors who had said to me, you're going to be in the law, and he was right. And it took me 6 months, and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to go into business. So I started my first company 3 months out of college in my basement with $250. I grew that company in 11 years to having a tremendous amount of patented and proprietary products, and I sold it to Newell Rubbermaid. And that was 11 years after I started it. Then I started my second company, and that was a company that did product development for very large companies. So I designed for QVC and Walmart and Kadam Glass, who's the largest glass manufacturer in the world in Malaysia. So at that point, I was doing all sorts of things, and I wasn't working with customers. It was all B2B, and it was a great company. God, do I miss that company? It was during that company that my life took this incredibly tragic turn. And what happened was I invented a product. It's a women's hair accessory. So not a hairstyling tool, it's a hair accessory. And it's because my hair is so freaking thin and fine that nothing will hold my hair. And if it does hold my hair, it damages it. And I was thinking, you know, there has to be a better way. So I invented this product. Now it's got multi-patents on it. But at the time, I didn't want to sell it, and I took it to the two largest companies in the world who do that kind of product, and I tried to license it. And I had already, just so you know, besides having a company, I had already licensed a ton of products. I'd manufactured. I had a manufacturing company here in Oakland. So I've done the whole gamut. Both of those companies told me, gee, this is such a great accessory, and it's such a great idea, but it's too complicated, and women are never going to understand it. And I was like, yeah, women drive cars, and they give birth. I think that they can figure out a freaking hair accessory. But I thought, at the time, remember, I had tons of money, and I had tons of success. And I thought, okay, I'll just start another company. I'll prove my model, and then I'm going to sell the company. That was the goal. And this funny thing happened on the way to the forum, which was I put it on QVC. It immediately did almost $2 million in sales, and that was at a price point of $18. That's you have to be turning a lot of stuff at QVC to be doing that. But it was watched, it was seen on air by the largest infomercial company in the world, and they have a long sordid history of knocking off small products and small inventors and small companies before their product is patented. And that was where I was. So through a long series of events, I hired investigators to essentially find out in China where they were manufacturing. We did find out, and I went to a buyer, a Walmart buyer, and I told him, I think you should audit them, because if you see where they're manufacturing, you're not going to want to get your hands on this. And I said, I'm going to get this patent, blah, 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 blah. That was on a Wednesday. He put a third-party audit in on them. On Friday, he was fired. And on Monday, I was sued in federal court in New York for slander and libel. So at the time, I thought, no problem. I'm just going to go to court, and I'm going to show my evidence. Yes, well, that was my first, I'm white and middle class. I did not understand that the justice system does actually not work. You should probably, I mean, there have been people, I think about Trayvon Martin's mother every freaking morning, because I don't know what that's like. So what I'm about to tell you is a heck of a lot less than what she and a lot of other people go through every morning because of our justice system. But I got dragged through the courts for 2.5 years. It was $700 an hour for attorneys, $350 an hour for junior attorneys. If you were pouring coffee, I think you were getting $250 an hour. I don't even remember because I've blacked it out. It was so brutal. But essentially what ended up happening during that, I lost everything that I had, including the sale of a company. They made $61 million selling my product while bankrupting me, and I ended up leaving that $1 million in debt. So we're talking, I went from being the most frugal person on the planet to having nothing. Meanwhile, I put on 30 pounds, which has now become 60, but really, who's freaking counting?
Right.
My husband had a heart attack. We experienced the darkest part of everything. And I'm telling you this just because there are companies out there. This is something that they do. The year that they did that to us, the FCC sued them again and got a $15 million fine. They've put 177 companies out of business. And right now they're in a $100 million lawsuit with a small inventor. They're in a class action lawsuit with Home Depot because they're one of their products that they knocked off explodes in people's hands and hurts them. So I'm just saying that that this type of person does exist. And I happened to run into them. And it happened to slam me repeatedly into a wall that I didn't even ever know existed. And I emerged from that through seriously miracles. And we're going to end on forgiveness because that's when I get to the forgiveness part, I'm going to sum this all up. But right now, I'm just going to tell you, because of them, the man that's masquerading as our president, I am vengeful. So the first part of the speech is going to be vengeful. And then we're going to work our way into forgiveness. Everybody in the audience, if you voted for Trump, don't tell me. Don't. You really don't want to have that conversation with me. So, anyway, now that we're clear on where I stand, the reason I want to give you this, and it's we're going to go through a ton of information, and I gave this to Lee. It's on. You guys will be able to download everything. Because we're going to be moving through some of this stuff so freaking fast. And a lot of it, we were just talking about, a third of you have the idea that you want to have a business. A third of you have a business that's started and growing, and it's like a little seed, and you're watering it and taking care of it every day. And a third of you are inventors, and you don't really want to have a company. You want to sell your product or license your product. So some of the stuff in here is going to go way over you guys' heads, and not all of you, I mean like a third of you or something. What I want you to understand is we're going to treat this like a huge Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, which is that you're going to take what you need and you're going to leave the rest. And if you don't understand it, it doesn't mean that you're stupid. It doesn't mean that I should have done something else or I should know that. No, no one comes out of their mother's womb knowing freaking anything. It's all learned. There's not a person on this planet that hasn't had to learn this. So don't fault yourselves. That's often what happens, is sometimes you're sitting in a thing and people are talking and everyone's nodding going, yeah, I totally get that. And you're like, I don't know what you're talking about. And you feel like an idiot. Okay, this is not the place for you to do that. You can just join me. Whenever you feel like an idiot, trust me, I have done stupider things 18 times more than you will ever do in your life. So we're starting this because I'm going to try to get you guys to understand and love research. And it's going to scare you, like math. But I'm just going to say that math is like God. So you can live your whole life thinking that there is no God and that you don't need to use math. You can do that, but life's going to be a hell of a lot harder if you decide to go that route. So it's your choice, but business is about math. Math can totally freaking be learned, and you do not need to be an investment banker. And the coolest thing is there's all sorts of stuff that you can, there's all sorts of programs and things that you can use that will help. So don't freeze up when I say math. Don't freeze up when I say research. Because all research is sitting in front of your computer with a bottle of wine at 9 o'clock at night, surfing the net. Okay, that is what research is. It didn't used to be this way when I was a small pup selling sugar to addicts. Anyway, so we are going to start. I wanted to start first with one of my favorite quotes. This is from Shackleton. Do any of you know who Shackleton was? He set out on a ship called the Endurance, and he they got stuck in the Arctic, and their boat got frozen in. It fell apart. They were out there for 20 months. They ended up eating their dogs, eating everything that they could, but not one person died. If you ever want to hear about entrepreneurship, I want you to read. It's a great story, and it's because of his leadership, and it's because of where he started. But the reason I'm starting here is because this is supposedly the ad that he placed where he was looking for his crew. Men wanted for hazardous journey, low wages, bitter cold, long hours of complete darkness, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in event of success. This is your mantra if you are an entrepreneur. Okay, so the first thing, and you're going to hear me go back to this a lot, and you're going to think, oh yeah, this is the soft, cushy part of the speech. Not exactly. We're starting with conquer your fear, because if you do, there's not a person in here that is not freaked out almost 24 hours a day. Because you wouldn't be human if you weren't. Fear apparently is our lowest common denominator. It's what rules the planet. It's what actually regulates our economic system. It's why people are prejudiced against other people. It's all about this. So if you want to be a successful person and a successful business person, you're going to have to learn how to conquer your fear. Now, if there were one way to do it, well, then we would all have figured it out and nobody would have any fear anymore. The reality is there's a lot of different ways and each of them is unique to you. But you have to spend time focusing and looking at yourself and admitting to yourself when you're terrified. Admitting to yourself when you are way in over your head. Admitting to yourself when you're ashamed. When you are absolutely ashamed that you don't know this or you made the most horrible mistake. Because if you don't get past this, you aren't going to go anywhere. I am going to, again, we're going through this fast. I want to give a whole workshop just on that. But I'm going to tell you, and you don't have to believe me, but this is one of those times I'm saying, listen to me, this really works. It's being scientifically proven at Harvard. It's being proven at Wharton, University of Pennsylvania in studies. It's being studied at Stanford, everything. I am telling you right now, if you can force yourself to change your habits, this one thing, if this is all that you take from my presentation today, this will change your life.
You have a slide?
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Are you still on the slide?
No, no. This part, conquer your fear, and those two, I want you to hear this. This is how crazy it is. I want you to get up every morning, and I want you to spend half an hour writing, reading, or meditating, and or. You can do all three, you can do one, it does not matter. But I am going to tell you that there is something weird about our brains, and neurologists are studying this. I'm telling you right now, if you get up, you roll over in bed and you grab your phone, you've already screwed your day, okay? You have screwed your day. What you need to do is you need to get up. If you've got kids, you're going to have to get up half an hour early because the screaming doesn't really help if you're trying to write and do meditation. But you have to sit in silence or write. And you don't have to write about anything. Julia Cameron wrote a phenomenal book called The Artist's Way. And she's a recovered alcoholic and a screenwriter in Hollywood. She talks about you have to purge. At the beginning, you have, because what's going to happen is the fear is going to come up right away. And you're not going to even notice it because you're so used to it. So you need to purge it in order for the next part to come. That means no electronics, no TV, no phones, no computer. This is so simple. Look, I have two sentences there. This will radically change your life. And if you ever want to see what do the top CEOs in the country do, in the world, this is what they do. This is what they do. It's very rare that you get a CEO to say, yeah, I roll out of bed and I start doing my emails. No, there's a reason for that. We're not going to go into it now. You just have to trust me. Okay, next you have to know who you are, and this is going to be scary. You have to find your top talents, and you have to focus on them. And you're not going to be good at everything. As a matter of fact, if you're good at a couple things and you suck at 90 things, you're about par for the course. So You need to find your talents, because one of the problems that small entrepreneurs have is that they think they can do it all. You will fail. You will fail. No one can do it all. And the problem is, your talent might be sales. What that next means is you have to find people that you team up with who are good at finance or numbers. I happen to not like details. So I specifically hire for people that are going to be right around me who love to crunch details. They're like anal retentive, and they, you know, if you put a coal inside of them, it would come out a diamond because the pressure's so intense. Okay, I am not that person. I have to have that kind of person around me, and they have to have someone like me. That's how it's intended. Humanity's a team sport, kids, and that's the reality. But if you do team up with people who are really good, and you're going to hear this, and it sounds so easy. It's like, oh yeah, hire somebody who's smarter than you. Wait till you hire somebody who's smarter than you. And you sit there, and that fear starts coming up, like, oh my God, I'm an idiot. Like, oh my God, I should do this. In fact, that's not what you should be feeling. You should be like, woohoo, I'm so smart, I hired somebody smarter than me. The other thing is, we have to stop being intimidated by other people's success, intelligence, creativity, and material possessions. Again, look, how many words was that? Just a few words. If you can do that one thing, your whole life is going to be better. But for example, I can speak. During this part of my life, this lovely chapter, friends of mine have been on the cover of magazines because they're now billionaires, and other friends have sold their companies for hundreds of millions of dollars, and I was bankrupt. I'm just going to say, if you want to know how to kill yourself, sit around and focus on what everybody else has instead of what you've got and what you can do with what you've got. Because the game, the ball is in motion. This game is still freaking in play. There's that wonderful saying, in the end, it's all okay. If it's not okay, it's not the end. You have to keep going. You have to be clear on your limitations. You have to educate yourself. We're going to get into that in a second. Educate is such a scary word for so many people, especially entrepreneurs, because you didn't do well in school. So you're like, screw it. I'm just going to do my own business. How hard could it freaking be? You need to educate yourself and not be afraid. Forget everything. If you've ever failed at anything that had anything to do with academics, you need to push it aside. It has nothing to do with the education that you're going to get now. Okay, so it doesn't matter if you could remember history and the Battle of What the Bulge. It does not freaking matter. What matters now is you need to figure out in a short amount of time what you are good at, who can fill in the gaps, and what you need to learn. And if you can focus on those three, you're going to be okay. Prioritize. This is another one. If you look at that wonderful word, prioritize, and everybody's like, yeah, that's so easy. Oh, yeah, I'll prioritize. No, the reason that the world looks like it is because hardly anybody prioritizes. We are so adept at filling our, like, you know it as well as I do. I get this incredible sense of elation when I go through these ridiculous amounts of emails, and I'm like, ooh, I won. No, I didn't. That was stupid. That was a stupid waste of time. You have to begin to focus, and you have to begin to prioritize. You need to learn the 80-20 rule. It's a mathematic principle. It actually is true. Who knows why? Who knows why under a standard bell curve, again, I love statistics, but under a standard bell curve, who knows why? Any bell curve that you do is going to have the same results. There's going to be this many people that are in the center. There's going to be the outliers on the end. You can do it in Pakistan. You can do it here. You can do it anywhere. The 80-20 rule and the standard bell curve are legitimate principles. So I want you to go home. I've got a book in here in the stuff that I want you to read called The 80-20 Rule that makes it pretty simple. But I just want you to Google it. The concept is that you're going to spend 80% of your time and you're going to get only 20% of the results. That's all it's going to be. So when you're doing your emails, when you're spending time cleaning out your drawer because you just think that that's going to help you write that report that you have to do, okay, those are low tasks and you shouldn't be doing them, and nobody will even miss them if you don't do them. What you need to do is change the equation. You need to spend 20% of your time focused, directed, and you will get 80% results from that 20%. So you don't work more, you work better and more focused. And it's really hard when you're an entrepreneur. This is so easy to go to the head of Google and go, hey, yeah, because somebody's doing his laundry, doing his grocery shopping, taking care of all of the crap that goes on in his life. Yeah, okay, so I understand that I'm asking a lot here, but I'm telling you, this is what you'll need to do. And this is the part about, yeah, you're not the head of Google, and you don't probably come from Harvard, and you don't have a trust fund, and you don't have his network. Sucks. That really sucks. So we can either stay on that side of the equation, or we can say, what are the few things that I can do that will not put me on overwhelm, but that will actually make a tangible difference? You are going to have to delete social media. I know, it's sad, really sad. You're going to have to at least take a break. Okay, if you can't pull yourself off at 100%, go for 50% first. What you're going to find is that, and you already know it, you feel, it's like, going on social media also is like reading a women's magazine where everybody is thinner than you, prettier than you, and all the magazine articles say things like, oh yes, she just grabbed this cashmere, you know, sweater for $168. I'm like, really? Okay, so you don't, why do this to yourself? Social media is really not a good thing, but we haven't figured it out yet. You need to really wean yourself from it, because it's not only taking your energy, it's taking your best time, and afterwards you feel like crap. So you need to stop.
We need to start calling it anti-social media.
Anti-social media, that's a good one. You need to stop volunteering unless it's feeding your soul. It doesn't mean that for the rest of your life you're not going to volunteer. It means that right now, until you reach the next level, you have to shut down everything that is not essential to your well-being and your growth. If you don't, it's gonna eat on you. A lot of times we're volunteering because we feel badly, because it's horrible. It's horrible to watch other people in pain if you have any sort of compassion. It's also where we can't say no, so we just say yes. You're gonna have to start saying no 5 times for every time you say yes. Because every time you say yes, you are saying no to research, you are saying no to meditation, you are saying no to all of those other things. Every single time, I want you to shift your thinking, because if you don't, you're gonna keep going, and then all you're gonna find is you're turning your wheels and you're exhausted and overwhelmed. You will not be able to function in that state. You will have to spend free time. There's this big thing about entrepreneurs that their marriages go south and they lose their friends and everything else. Okay, yeah, if you work 74 hours a day and you don't give anything to the people that love and support you, yeah, you're going to lose them. But you will have, if you're not doing social media, you will have an hour to sit with your husband, your wife, your lover, your partner, whatever the heck, your child. You will have an hour, and I want you to start looking at it in that frame of mind. Because if you have a little bit of free time, you pour it right back into the people that are supporting you. You've got to sleep, you've got to drink water, and you've got to figure out a way to let go of stress. Might be meditation, might be yoga, might be, you know, hardcore exercise. God, wouldn't that be lovely? But yeah, it might be going to the gym. I don't know, really, because that's not mine, but then after you have done, go ahead.
Just a question regarding volunteering. You're just saying if it's something that just because in Oakland we have a major issue with it.
Yes.
So we're talking about if it's something you're throwing yourself into but it's not
Yeah, you'll know if you're like me. My family volunteers, we tithe our income, but you will know if it's, we call it God jobs. If it comes to you and it feels so good and it doesn't sap you and you don't feel resentful and you don't go and shove chocolate down your throat later because you said yes and didn't say no, okay, that's feeding your soul. You need to feed your soul. If that's how it feels, you'll know it. What I'm talking about is when it's like, hi, can you make 64 brownies for the third grade class and you're gonna go save the world and can you walk some dogs at the shelter and whatever else and do the car wash on Saturday. Something's gotta give. And the problem is that we keep taking it on and there's no other room. And who then loses is us. And you also need to know brain science. We're going to do someday, we're going to do an entire thing on brain science, but your frontal lobes are here, and your frontal lobes are the part of your brain that is creative. Your body, when it senses stress hormones, when it begins to get cortisol, when all that stuff is happening, it doesn't know if it's the IRS that's after you, a dinosaur, a man with a gun, okay? It doesn't know. It just senses and it goes into overload. What the first part of your brain that shuts down is your frontal lobes. Your frontal lobes are what give you creativity and balance. It's where you feel good. It's all of that. But your brain doesn't need that when it's in panic mode. It needs your liver to be doing certain things. It needs your oxygen into your system. It needs to be able to run or fight. So what happens is you actually hamstring the part of you that needs to be creative at that moment. You are actually physically, this is not woo-woo, this is physical reality. So if you get to that point and that level of stress, you need to stop and you need to say something's got to give. I've got 92 things I've got to do today. I'm going to try to cut it to 80. Okay, I'm not saying you go to one. It's a progressive system, but you'll know if it's feeding you or it's not. Once you've done that lovely self-analysis, you're getting up in the morning, you're writing, you're just decompressing, you're not staying on social media. You're going to need to choose where you want to sell, and you need to learn your marketing customer. So this is where we're going to start whipping through stuff. Obviously, all of these on here are things that you could do. If you were